Man, things changing at the Raiders? But for the better or for the worse, welcome to the show, Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. Now, yesterday, Pearl, was just the news that they've decided to part ways with Christian Wilkins, who was celebrated just a year ago as one of the great, you know, free agent signings, right?
He was
big deal coming from the Miami Dolphins. They were going to shore up the defense, he and Max Crosby together, and this was going to be this sort of new era, I guess, of Raiders defense. And now, because he had a foot injury that required surgery, the team wanted him to get another surgery. He did not want to do that. And now the team was alleging he wasn't trying hard enough to get back on the field. They avoided his guarantees, and he has filed a grievance with the players, on behalf of the players' union. He's filed a grievance now with the NFL. So there's a lot going on with this story. But I ask you this from maybe a 30,000-foot view.
Yeah.
Not... Are the Raiders, do you like the direction overall that the Raiders have taken this offseason? Do you think they are moving closer back to relevancy with the addition of Pete Carroll, new general manager John Spytek, Tom Brady in the building to a certain extent, Geno Smith coming over, they drafted Ashton Jeanty, now cutting bait with Christian Wilkins. Do you generally like what they've done, or do you generally not like what they've done?
I am down on the Raiders. I mean, yeah, this is all fine, but I don't think anything's going to change with that owner. I think eventually, unless, you know, you have Woody Johnson with the Jets, you had the Fords with the Lions, you have the Haslams with the Browns, none of this is going to change.
Jerry Jones.
Well, Jerry Jones is bad. At least he's won a lot. I just think that you have these organizations that have these deep, deep flaws, and I don't think Tom Brady, to me, is window dressing, owns 5% of the team. John Spytek might be good, but there have been other good executives who've come through there as well. And Pete Carroll is going to be there for, 2 years? So, no, I think that the Raiders are getting overhyped, if anything, right now.
See, I think the big part of Pete Carroll coming to the Raiders was, first of all, they couldn't get Ben Johnson. I do think they were looking at him first, but he went, obviously, to the Bears. But I do think that they were looking for, once Johnson said no and he was like the hottest commodity on the coaching market, I think they were going for something very specific here with Carroll. Because you could have done another up-and-coming guy. They could have went with a Kellen Moore or a Liam Cohen or other guys who got hired in this cycle. And they went with a 73-year-old Pete Carroll because I think they realized they needed some gravitas in the building immediately, right? You need somebody who at least gives the appearance. And beyond that, Pete Carroll's, you know, borderline Hall of Fame coach, or maybe just straight up Hall of Fame coach. They needed someone to come in and settle things down after, you know, John Gruden messiness. They go to Rich Bisaccia, make the playoffs. Then they go to Josh McDaniels, then Antonio Pierce. Like, you had to get off this, guys who just couldn't do the job. I think Pete Carroll, terrible Berman. I think Pete Carroll brought immediate gravitas and respect back to the Raiders with that coaching hire. And so, yeah, he might not be there for long, but I liked the hire for that reason. Sometimes you just need someone to come in and stabilize things. And I think on top of that, Geno Smith also does that. It raises the floor. I don't know how high the ceiling is, but it raises the floor of what the Raiders can be to me.
See, so you're saying, but to do that, if you're not going to make the playoffs with Pete Carroll, then I think it is a sort of a nothing burger then.
So we've talked a little bit, and we've done like a this fun kind of gimmick about what's the expectation of these four NFL teams. We've kind of working our way through the NFL, and we haven't done the Raiders yet. But, you know, when we do these expectations, not every team that we talk about, the expectation Super Bowl. Like, not every team that we talk about is even the expectation necessarily playoffs or win playoff games.
So what's the point?
Well, I think for year one, the expectation is get back to relevance. Get back to actually being a team that is respected, can win games, can get close to the playoffs, perhaps, you know, be in the hunt. And then in year two, you know, figure out if Geno's still going to be the guy or continue to add. Because I think the cupboard was pretty bare on this team. And not I think, I know the cupboard was very bare on this team as far as personnel.
Right. I think they had a lot of bad drafts. But all that being said, like, I just think this is a typical winning the press conference in March fantasy that this is all going to work. Yeah, we probably, like you mentioned, everybody probably loved the Christian Wilkins trade signing last year. As always, like 80% of free agency signings completely falter. Yeah, we always get excited about these kind of moves in the offseason. And then for a lot of franchises, it does not matter. Like, how many times, you know, how many times have the Jets and the Giants have brought in a new guy who's going to change things? Or the Browns, like this, and even the Raiders themselves, they brought in Gruden and he was going to change things. Like, I don't know. There's some organizations that don't change. And why do they not change? Because of the ownership group. And I think you haven't said exactly. I think you think Tom Brady's going to change sort of the tenor of the ownership group. I'm more dubious, and for a couple of reasons. One, he only owns 5% of the team, and also, how do we know he's a good executive? Derek Jeter was a terrible executive. He was the GOAT as far as competitive players, like perfect baseball mind, and it didn't work out. So I just like I'm a huge TBD. If they're 7-10 or 6-11, they're irrelevant. What's relevance? I mean, they've been in the playoffs the last 5 years. Like they've had had like 10, 11 win seasons. Like, I don't think that's relevant. If they're 7-10 with Pete Carroll, they feel like where are they? They go into next year just as lost as they are now.
So they've had one 10 win season over basically the last, they've had two double digit win seasons over the last decade. It's not good. It has not been good. And that's what I'm
saying.
They're
totally irrelevant.
But they have this fan base that I think does set them apart, you know, from other teams because of, you know, the silver and black and how iconic it still is, even though you're right. Al Davis's son, Mark Davis, has done a lot to damage that brand. Totally understand it. I think that they won four games last year. You bring in Pete Carroll and Geno Smith. I think that if you can you double that? Can you get to 8 wins? And then where do you go from there? You're assessing what else do you need, and do you have another big offseason move? Because I think Vegas is an appealing place to play and go. I think if not that everything gets solved in free agency, but it is pretty appealing. And, you know, I think you needed to have a better GM. Now, you mentioned Tom Brady. Yeah, he owns 5% of the team or whatever, but he has influence. We know that he was looking at quarterbacks, and we know he did not want Sam Darnold, and at least that carried weight in the building. So now Geno Smith is there, and Darnold's in Seattle. And I would say, you know, Derek Jeter, yeah, was a terrible executive. But for a Derek Jeter, can I give you a Jerry West, who was a great player who ended up being a Hall of Fame executive? I don't know what Brady's going to be. I don't know. He's not as hands-on as Jerry West was with the Lakers and with the Memphis Grizzlies, but
I don't remember Jerry West being the lead color man for NBC on NBA on NBC. Like, he was kind of a full-time GM.
If Fox was going to pay Jerry West $375 million, maybe he would have been both. I'm just saying, I don't think it, you don't know if Brady's going to be, if Brady's going to be good, you're kind of assuming he's going to be terrible, and I'm kind of assuming he's going to be competent. So
I know, I don't think he's going to have that big of an influence. Like, I think that on the day-to-day, I don't think he's going to be able to run the team, because I think he's going to be working for Fox. I mean, I know people think, oh, you just show up and open your mic, but I don't think he's going to get involved, like, cut this guy, sign this guy. Like, I just don't think he's doing any of that. Because also, the other thing, too, is the GM and the scouting department's presumably looking at tape. I don't think he has time to go through the whole draft process. And did he go to the combine? Was he meeting with everybody? Like, how much actual influence did he have on the draft?
Well, I think I don't know about the draft, but he definitely had influence on who's the starting quarterback for the Raiders this year. And that's, you could argue, is maybe more important than anything that he's had to say or would have said about a draft pick. I mean, they've said that he's involved. Now, I don't think it's down to the, you know, third round, fourth round, fifth round, you know, and beyond, but I do think he's involved. Listen, Brady's got a lot of celebrity weddings to attend. I get that.
So they're pretty much an always 4 o'clock game. I just picture them like you're exhausted. You just watch a 1-4 window and it's like, oh, the Raiders Broncos are, it's 13-9 and with 3 minutes left in the game. I just don't feel like they're going to be an entertaining product. Maybe I'm wrong. It feels like, you know, there's always like Arizona is always playing San Francisco at 4 o'clock and the Raiders are always playing somebody at 4 o'clock. And it's like, oh God. Let's, you know, they have not really been relevant in a really long time. I think I understand what you're saying, but I just don't think there's enough to all of a sudden, boom, become like a thing. Also, let's face it. I mean, that division.
Gangbusters.
Impossible.
Really,
he's
really
got
good.
Harbaugh, he's got Sean Payton, and he's got, Andy Reid. I think definitely three of the top five coaches in the entire NFL are in the same division with Pete Carroll.
But Pete Carroll was a top coach. Now, it got a little dicey at the end of Seattle, but, I mean, he was right there, too. 888-710-4ISN. Do you like the direction of where the Raiders have gone this offseason? Do you think this is going to be meaningful change? Or, like Perloff said, do you think this is Raiders mediocrity and things will not change really until ownership meaningfully changes.
Well, right.
Not to put words in your mouth. But.
Yeah, yeah. No, I mean, they haven't done anything since the Super Bowl, and I just don't think any change is coming soon.
Let's go to Dan, who's in California. We start off the show talking about a new report that came out from Yahoo, basically connecting a lot of dots between Arch Manning and the L.A. Rams. Dan, good morning. How are you?
Well, good morning to you too. A great show. I listen to you now and then, and this is one of your best, I think.
We're going to send this tape to the Smithsonian.
Arch Manning, okay. So why doesn't he go to the New Orleans Saints, who will probably be the worst team in the NFL this year? You know, his grandfather, his namesake, played there. And stay with me. Not only are they going to have a new owner, but they might have a new GM then. And why not make his Uncle Peyton the GM? He's a great NFL brain, you know. And then it's off to the races. Basically, the Manning family can mold a team in the image they want.
Dan, I'm going to be honest. I did not see that twist coming. Thank you so much for even bringing it up on this fine Friday.
That's not going to happen. Peyton's got a media empire.
He does have the Omaha Productions.
Talk about it. Brady doesn't want to watch tape. You think Peyton's going to go visit, Missouri and watch right guard now?
He's going to break down that touchdown.
I don't know.
Never mind.
You know,
I feel like I watched Peyton on the Manning Cast. He is invested in, I think he loves gets so juiced up by these games.
But doesn't Mickey Loomis talk about a job for life? He's got a job for life.
It's crazy.
And
that he's
he should
still there.
Not.
Job for life.
Like, what pictures does he have? The blackmail of material.
Was he part of the team in 2009? I don't remember how long he's been there, but he's definitely had crazy success for a team that for years was a loser.
He's been with the Saints since 2002.
That's insane.
To me, I think this is just ownership's maybe asleep at the wheel.
He had, look at the record from 2002 through 2020. I mean, I'm sure they were top five team in the league. They won a ton of games with Drew Brees. So it's not like Mickey Loomis has done nothing in this league. He's won a lot more games than you're talking about the Raiders. Oh, my God.
Well, no doubt. But the Raiders, at least, they have to keep trying things. I mean, he's been there so long that he's not only won a Super Bowl, but he's been suspended for an entire season.
For Bountygate.
With Bountygate. I mean, but listen, the bottom line is, aren't you judged on your results? And I know it's hard to navigate the end of any franchise quarterback, but it's not like they didn't have a heads up that Drew Brees was coming to the end. They did. Drew Brees and then Sean Payton may have kind of abruptly sort of retired, but they also got to trade him to the Broncos and get draft compensation for him. So, you know, this is, I don't know about the Saints. I don't feel, I've said this before, it got me in trouble with some fans. I think the Saints are one of the most irrelevant teams in the NFL right now. Now that could change. Arch Manning going there would certainly change it in a heartbeat, but if I were the Mannings and if they're up close and personal there, I don't look at the Saints and say, wow, this is a perfect place for Arch. I trust them implicitly.
Well, one of the things about the caller said, like, does maybe the Mannings want a blank slate, like Arizona, New Orleans, teams that are just sort of lost. Like, you could come in. I think Arch, listen, these are indoor stadiums. Like, we know, I'd much rather go to one of those teams than the Cleveland Browns. Like, honestly, I think somebody could come to the Saints and do some damage. Like, you could start all over. You have, it's a great point. You have a blank slate. You could bring in, I think you could bring Sark with him if he wanted. He could bring in whatever coach he wanted. They would just hand over the keys. So that might be attractive to the Mannings. And it's not just New Orleans. So I definitely think Arizona's in play for this. I think if the Panthers fall apart, David Tepper would be like, here you go, Mannings. This is your franchise. Do what you want.
I mean, you're talking about bad owners. I mean, Mark Davis is a bad owner. Do we think that David Tepper's been a good owner? Do we think that the Bidwells, of that Super Bowl run with Kurt Warner, Larry Fitzgerald, that was a long time ago.
I mean, we just heard Jimmy Haslam is very tight with the Mannings.
He's the worst. I don't understand how you could trust, you're trying to use your leverage to do right by Arch Manning to say, we're going to go to the Cleveland Browns. Feels like you're letting them down.
Well, I mean,
what's all that decades of experience and understanding of the league just to send him to the Browns? Good grief.
One thing about friends, too, is, you have friends sometimes and they're your friends, but you also know they'd be on some BS. And I mean, Peyton Manning knows Jimmy Haslam. He knows some of these folks. Yeah. Woody Johnson, right? Like, yeah. But I think he may be like, oh, that's my friend. We golf. I give him advice. I send bad coaches to them.
He gives my college team lots of money.
Yeah. Am I going to send my nephew to play for him? Like, I think, like, Peyton Manning's not a dummy.
I think rich people have a different set of, like, we all judge them one way. I think when, I'll bet you Jimmy Haslam's in a room with Peyton Manning, they're probably pretty good friends. Jimmy Haslam's successful guy. By the way, Manning came up with the Irsay family in Indy. Like, who knows what was going on there? I'm telling you, yeah, you don't get the number one pick because you were running a tight ship. I feel like there's a lot of great players who've come in at number one and turned around franchises.
But think about it, though. What relationship did Archie Manning have with the Maras? I can't think of one.
No. Oh, I'm sure. Archie's been around the NFL. I mean, all these guys know everybody.
Around the NFL is not the same as what was being described as close friendships with Jimmy Haslam and some of these other owners. So what I'm saying is when Arch becomes an NFL player, I don't know if it's going to be, well, that's my closest friend in the NFL that's an owner. I'm going to send him to that team. It could just be, oh, that's my friend, but I also know that he's probably not the greatest person for my nephew. We're going to send him somewhere else. I just don't know I don't think he's going to be that beholden to giving him to his friends.
888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. Man, EJ, when you said that, like, you know your closest friends are on some BS, did everyone else kind of, like, in their mind go to that one friend that they have? It's like, you could run the world as long as there's not an open bar. You'd be great, but the moment the open bar comes, then all of a sudden, no, you can't do that.
I am that friend.
Or what else? You know, you could run the world, but then if some pretty young lady walks in front of you, well, then it's over.
Yeah, I mean, they're people I hang out with and I love all the time, but am I going to trust them to watch my house for a week? Hell no. Like, yeah. Or watch my dog? Like,
well, that's different.
Yeah, wait,
there's people close in your life who you wouldn't trust to watch your dog?
Hell no.
Oh, wow.
Definitely. I mean, Lita is her own.
Yeah, she's
literally her own beast to begin with.
Yeah,
so there's that.
Got a lot
aspect.
Of energy.
That's a good doggy.
I love that doggy, but she's a mess in herself. So now, like, if I have people close to me that I know, there are people I don't trust to watch Lita for a week. No way.
Perloff, would you trust all of us on the show, including Andrew Bogish and
Andrew
Kaplan?
Can't forget Bogish.
I will not forget Bogish.
We forget Bogish.
I don't want to feel bad about that all weekend to watch Hermes your tortoise.
And let's not forget Bogish.
Probably not.
None of us.
Definitely not Manny.
What am I doing? What am I not doing?
You're not watching Hermes the Tortoise, and that was just solidified it.
Yeah, I probably would pass too.
Probably not EJ. EJ always seems to have some drama going on behind the scenes. Like something's happening at his house at all times.
Oh, and,
am I wrong
fault.
About that, EJ?
No, but I put it together.
Tough run.
I keep it together, though.
Well, I'm just thinking with your knee injury, like to get from Queens to Brooklyn is going to be annoying. So you're not going to take care of the tortoise.
Queens to Brooklyn? It's not like he's going from Queens to Pennsylvania.
Do you know how long
Singapore.
It takes to get from my neighborhood to his neighborhood? It's probably a 50-minute drive.
Yeah, there is no subway lines over there.
Subway lines are crazy.
Maggie, I would not trust because you have a 6-year-old son, and I do not trust him around the tortoise, and I shouldn't.
You're very smart not to do
that. Yeah, I mean, mommy, can this tortoise fly?
Oh, God.
Yes, it can.
Can I tell you, speaking of that, yesterday, my kid's walking out, and these older kids from the swim lesson at the YMCA, these older kids are all there with some balloons or whatever. He goes, oh, balloons.
Oh,
and the kid goes, oh, no. Do you want one? My kid takes it, just immediately lets it go. And there it went. Hope these weren't important.
That kid's a menace.
Yeah, he goes, get it back. I'm like, it's floating to the solar system.
Get it back. Get it back. What are you, Victor Wembanyama?
What am I, Superman? 888-710-4ISN. Okay, see you guys on the phones. You want to talk about Arch Manning. You want to talk about his future. Is it best in New Orleans with a blank slate, or would he be better off going to a place like the Rams, who there's an article now kind of linking him really directly to the Rams, a place where he can learn from Matthew Stafford and be with Sean McVay. So much to get to. 888-710-4ISN.
Welcome back, Maggie and Perloff Show. A lot going on, but it feels like we have a mission today.
What's that?
Try and find a home for Arch Manning and the pros. That poor kid. He's already, by the way, hasn't even really started, and is a multimillionaire who we're now projecting as the surefire number one pick, even though we've seen him play two games. Really interesting story. I'm adamant he's going to go in the 27 draft, and he will not be a Los Angeles Ram or a Cleveland Brown. He is going to go. You ready?
Yeah. Wow.
The Arizona Cardinals.
Huh.
Or the Las Vegas Raiders. I just noticed, I was looking at the odds. There are all these indoor teams that need quarterbacks moving forward. Like, if you're Arch, don't you want to go to an indoor stadium where you can just rip it up, bring in one of your own offensive geniuses? I just said, don't think the Rams is going to happen because I think they're going to be deep in the playoffs this year. So Arch will definitely evaluate who's at the top of the draft. It'll be the end of the season. He'll say, like, okay, here's the number one team. Do I want to stay or do I want to go back? Peyton had the same situation, had the Jets at number one, said, I'm going to go back. So I think it's more likely that a bad team has the number one and he goes back. And then in 27 comes out.
So what do you think? I don't mind your plan at all. Yeah. I don't know about Arizona, if they'll be bad enough. And I don't think that the Raiders are going to be bad enough to have the number one pick. You know, with Geno Smith, I think the floor just got elevated with him and Pete Carroll. So
really?
I don't think they're a four-win team. I think it's going to be higher than that.
They're still 26th or 27th in odds. So they definitely would be in play.
So the other thing about that is, you know, I don't think it actually really matters who's at the top of the draft. Going to be honest. I don't.
Yeah, I mean.
And, you know, this is a new article that came out from Yahoo that's basically talking about how the Rams are lining up to get Arch Manning. But I'm sure a lot of other teams are thinking the same thing. But what the Rams would be able to offer is, hey, you come and learn behind Matthew Stafford for a year. And I think the Mannings, because, you know, Peyton started right away with his rookie season, and it was terrible. And that was back in a time where you could actually have a really bad rookie year and it didn't maybe totally destroy you. Arch is coming into a different media climate and a different NFL where things move really, really fast. And even Eli, you know, was the opposite. Eli didn't start. He eventually took over for Kurt Warner. But you can maybe see, okay, Peyton went right in and started right away. It went badly, and then eventually he got better. They didn't make the same mistake with Eli. Eli came in, learned from Kurt Warner, and then eventually replaced Kurt Warner. I can imagine with Arch and seeing how successful it was in Kansas City with Patrick Mahomes sitting behind Alex Smith, and that's referenced in the article, that maybe the Mannings like that would be open to that. Hey, I know you're going to forego a lot of money in NIL. Mannings have plenty of money. Learn from Matthew Stafford. Sit there behind. Learn from Stafford and McVay and basically go to NFL boot camp for your rookie year.
But what about the concept of the NFL draft?
That's what I don't know if it's a figment of your imagination when it comes to Arch, who has unprecedented level of leverage.
So Kobe made sure he fell to 13, right, with the Lakers.
Yep.
And it was the biggest shock in probably NBA draft history.
But did it work?
It worked.
Yep.
But you know when the last time that happened in the NFL? Never. The Giants and the Chargers traded from 4-1.
Yep.
And that
was 20 years ago.
And by the way, Eli was not as strong a prospect as Arch. Like, Arch, assuming that he plays well this year and lives up to the hype, will be a much stronger prospect than Eli Manning. I even think Eli, a lot of people thought, oh, well, Eli's probably the third best quarterback in this class. He went with Rivers and Roethlisberger.
Yep.
So, Arch, I can't imagine a team who's number one is going to want to trade that pick. Not even to number two or to number three, let alone number 18. Like, well, it just never has, nothing even close has happened to this in NFL history.
Well, let's let the season play out, not just that we see Arch play, but let's see Kate Klubnick again. Let's see Garrett Nussmeier. Let's see some of these other highly touted quarterbacks this year, the ones who actually are eligible to be drafted, so not the DJ Lagways or Lenore Sellers, but let's see some of the other guys who are also highly touted and see if maybe there does become a little more competition for Arch. Now, no one's going to touch Arch's last name, right? And the hype. That's not ever going to happen. But as far as skill is concerned, there could be other guys who end up in his weight class.
Well, yeah, but all those guys could have been in the pros already if they were, like, legit. I think everyone you just mentioned has already been draft eligible. Obviously, Garrett Nussmeier and Cade Klubnick, if they wanted to go into a draft, they should have gone into this draft because there were no quarterbacks at all. But I think they got feedback, hey, we're a second or third round pick. So to see them as generational over Arch Manning feels like a stretch to me.
No, no, things change quickly, it feels like, in college football when it comes to QBs. Let's go to the phones. Ramon is in Indianapolis. Good morning, Ramon.
Good morning, my favorite people. I hadn't had a chance to get through to you all in a while. I've been grinding. I'm doing my power walking now. I power walk 4 days a week. Labs are great. Blood pressure's great. Workout, people, you'll stay in shape. I'm almost 60, so that's the key.
Ramon, how many steps are you getting in a day? 10,000?
About close to 11,000.
Wow.
Close to 11,000.
Yeah,
I'm walking at about 3.4, 3.5. I got a cousin that walks at 5.0. He's crazy.
You're barely out of breath. It's amazing.
I know. 71 years young. 5.0. I like Perloff talking about 2027, because guess who would need a quarterback then? Perloff, you missed it. Here, Indianapolis, Richardson would be gone. Daniel Jones would be gone. I could see it happen. Come on now. No, we won't have any of those bums around anymore.
Ramon, this year. Forget 2027. What about the 2026 draft?
That too. They've got new ownership now. The daughters are in charge. They may want to make a splash. Peyton with the power. You know what I mean? I could see it happening.
Ramon, question though about this great plan. And I kind of love the Ursay daughters. I'm kind of into that because we'll see how it goes, them running the team. But Arch didn't want to go to Tennessee, didn't want to go to Ole Miss. Are we sure he wants to do the thing where he's following in his uncle's footsteps that closely, like to literally go to where Peyton Manning built that house? You know, they call it the house that Peyton Manning built, don't they?
Well, yeah, I could see that. But the fact of the indoor, which Perloff makes a great point, and the fact they're going to be bad, I don't see us winning 4 games. Not with these guys, not with these bums. I mean, the schedule may help, but we thought we had an easy schedule last year. And look what happened. So, and then I just want to say, the media, you all are fair, but the media is something else. There's no criticism of the Manning directing their son. And Perloff, I disagree. I think Shadur was a quarterback last year. I think his dad, the hatred for his dad is why he got pushed around like that.
I agree with you on that, yeah.
The fact remains, what's the difference between Deion this last year and the Manning this year? It's just the media pick narratives. I like the parents and fathers or whatever directing this and the third. Seems like Deion got a bad rap on it. The Mannings don't. So let's try to make sure we be fair when we talk about people.
Have a good walk today, sir. Complete double standard. Called it out. I mean, that Deion would be criticized for it. The Mannings are going to be, you know, oh, wow, look at the heady play of the Mannings. The problem with is it's unfortunate that Shador is the one who got kind of the shrapnel there.
Well, maybe it's different. Deion was his son's coach forever. But, you know, one thing, you keep saying that Arch rejected Tennessee and Ole Miss. He chose Texas, but, it's not like he said, I will never go to these places. So it's a little bit of a different dynamic. Like,
didn't even visit.
To reject Indianapolis, like, that's different. Like, if he had, you know, to say no to the number one team, that's a big, the Mannings have a lot of connections. Like, I brought up the scenario, right? What if the Haslams have the number one pick? Is he really going to say, I'm sorry, we will not come to your team, to his old friend? I think there are a lot of teams that Arch would go to. I don't think it's just Rams or bust. And even so, it's just impossible to climb up that high in the draft. If the Rams are what I think they are, I think they're going to be amazing this year. I do not see that happening.
Let's go to Bogus. He's got the latest.
Yes, Ramon knows a guy who does a 5.0 walk. I mean,
who's at 71.
Hey, listen, I'm not casting aspersions, but the guy might be doping.
That's insane. 5.0 walking?
So yesterday, two days ago, I was out jogging. Shocker. And they had one of those things up that measures people's speed.
Oh, of course.
And I was like, let me see if I can register. Didn't even register.
They did that on The Office.
I know. I didn't even register. It didn't even give me like a mile per hour. I was running. It just not fast enough.
What's your mile time?
Like 8 minutes.
Oh, remember?
Get out of here. You're running 8 minutes. How long are you running?
I run 2.5 miles.
Bogus, remember when you were hosting and we had the earthquake? It was really just Maggie going for a jog.
8 minutes is good.
Yeah.
That's really fast.
But I don't run very long. Like, I'm not going very far. If I had to go 3.5 miles or 4 miles, there'd be no way I could do that.
2.5 miles, so that means you're running for 24 minutes.
Yep. Sometimes if it's
hot. No, 22 minutes.
No, it's actually more like 24, so probably more like a 9-minute mile, I guess.
All right. No.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay.
Something like that. Why? What's your mile?
Yeah. No comment. Richardson over there.
No comment. Because my wife makes us run 5Ks and they measure them. So I saw I was at like 7:03 several years ago. And then
that's great.
I was running with my daughter. Yeah, it was a double digits. It was like 10:15. But I had to slow down a little bit. But no, it's gone down closer to 10. Not going to lie. Ever since the grade 2 knee sprain.
At least you're still out there. Yeah, that skiing accident you got into.
By the way, I was just saying, Maggie, it feels like 8 minutes. 8 minutes is faster than you realize.
Well, I know it takes me about 24 minutes to do the thing I do because I can tell my husband, I'm going to be back in 24 minutes.
Maybe you are at 8 minutes. Actually, I've seen you do the 40. And you're pretty fast, except the wind resistance is an issue because you run straight up like Eric Dickerson. Well, you guys have seen a runner 40, right?
I saw it.
I mean, also the weight of her feet bring her down.
Yeah. No. But the thing is, her feet cover like it's 40 yards. It's like six steps from there.
You think though that you'd have like Saquon quads for picking up and putting down those feet so many times?
But, you would think, but evidently not.
Getting out of the block
cement
is tough.
Cement shoes.
It's tough because she has to stand about 10 yards behind the line to not footfall.
When I tell you, I once was lucky enough to do this like one-on-one interview with Usain Bolt, and it was like Gatorade put it on, and I got to go to this track, and I dressed in all track stuff. I have the photo.
Oh way.
Yeah, yeah. Most best and one of the best and one of the most embarrassing moments of my life.
You have to show us that photo.
And it was like nobody was there really. It was like me and maybe two other interviews that he was doing that day. This is when I was working for Sports Illustrated, and so I go and buy this like fancy looking workout stuff.
Like
and,
Steve Prefontaine, you showed up at like in the Adidas like zip up and
yeah, kind of
okay. Oh, no. Like a Tannenbaum.
Yeah, well, no.
Or is it like one of the more modern full body aerodynamic tracksuits?
No, I just like I bought these really fancy and like very expensive like running leggings.
Okay.
Like yeah, I had to look the part, you know.
Like the freeze a little bit, but yeah. So what happened? Did you get the race against him?
Couldn't get out of the blocks.
What?
I've never done anything like that before, and I thought, oh, I'll be able to just get out of these blocks. Like, they make it look so easy on TV. It was terrible.
I've never tried it. Is it really hard?
Yeah, I'm sure Kaplan's already found it. Yeah.
Why don't you hit the pose real quick? The Usain Bolt celebration real quick.
We didn't do that. I'll find the...
Do it right now.
I'll find the...
I think I found it already.
This one?
I think this is easily available.
Yeah, it's on the internet.
I think this is easily available on the internet, and this is going to be glorious. I'm waiting through an ad.
Does WikiFeed know about this?
They do now.
It's their featured video.
It's going to be pinned on their website.
Oh, my God.
Oh, I know. It's so
You're
bad.
You're wearing a jean jacket, though.
I'm not wearing a jean jacket. No, I'm wearing a Stella McCartney windbreaker, which I don't know if that means anything to our audience, but it cost me like $200.
Sorry, we have to go through a some sort of drug company.
Can you submit that receipt to SI?
No. That was out-of-pocket expense. Gotcha. While Perloff finds this and laughs at me mercilessly.
Waiting for a Tremfya ad. Sorry.
We made money off that video.
Welcome to 2025.
Their lead in the AL Central is still a healthy eight games, but it was 11.5 just two Sundays ago. Since then, the Tigers have lost 10 of 11.
Pitch to Nathan Lucas is hit high. Deep right field. Headed to the foul pole. That ball is gone. Two-run homer for Lucas. Just snuck it inside the pole. And the Blue Jays are up 11-1 in the eighth.
That's Blue Jays radio. Toronto cruising to an 11-4 win in Detroit. A.J. Hinch's team has now dropped 10 of its last 11.
It seems like when one bad thing happens, the dam breaks. And that's what happens over 2 weeks. It's been 11 days. We're back at it again tomorrow, and we can choose to bring that garbage into tomorrow, or we can, you know, reset and get back after it.
Two Sundays ago, the Tigers had that 11.5 game lead on the Twins. It's now eight games on the Guardians. It is the NFL's position battle we're most excited about this summer. Jake Haener versus Spencer Rattler versus Tyler Shupp at Saints camp.
Three-headed monster.
Haener will get the first team reps today, according to new head coach Kellen Moore. Meanwhile, there are still four QBs in Cleveland, and GM Andrew Berry said yesterday it might stay that way.
There have been teams that have carried four, so if there are four that are 53-man worthy, and we think it makes the most sense for us to keep them, we will.
So go ahead and buy, don't rent, Flacco, Pickett, Gabriel, and Shador. And in the WNBA last night, the Fever snapped the Aces' three-game win streak 80-70 without Caitlin Clark. And the Sparks took care of the Sun 101-86. Kelsey Plum, 30 points and 6 assists. Please show me this video.
Okay, the video is amazing. Sorry, I was distracted. It's Maggie
it's
trying to get out of the box.
As I remember. Oh, God. Oh, this is so embarrassing. How this even made it into the video. Okay. This is when I said I'll never do anything athletic on camera ever again. I got to interview Usain Bolt. And it looks great. The
camera work is outstanding.
The camera work's amazing. He and I look great. I cannot get out of the... It's worse than anyone could ever imagine. How it made the final edit is really embarrassing for me.
It does look like your feet are too heavy to move.
They're so big.
It's not like... Just so you're not describing it, it's not a bad start. Like, you literally just fall out of the blocks. like on your face.
Ooh, new legs.
Yeah.
couldn't get out of the starting block.
By the way, and
never ran track before.
You're not sure. Usain Bolt's towering over here. Is he like 6'5"?
He's huge.
Yeah.
He's massive. Big Green Bay Packer fan, as I remember from that.
Maggie, you look like Bambi.
I'm terrible.
Yeah, that's a great description.
Newborn baby deer with better athleticism.
Baby giraffe, yeah. Totally.
All right. Oh my God, that is, you're taking a second effort. Do you make it on this one?
No. What do you think?
This is. How did we not know about this?
Oh my! It's so bad.
Wow.
Are there more of these gems out there?
So there's one other one, and luckily we only had one camera for the shoot, and so you don't actually see what happens. But I go to Kansas City, and the Chiefs were nice enough to let us shoot some stuff with them, and I kicked a field goal. Jan Stenerud, the
Hall of Famer,
or
something like that. Yeah,
yeah, taught me how to kick a field goal. We went out. He created like the tee, right? That's his famous thing. But we went outside. We kicked the field goal, and I ended up like basically breaking a window. I mean, it was the worst possible field goal attempt. I shouldn't do things, athletic things, on camera. Unless I'm playing tennis, that's all I got.
Does anyone else get the vibe that there's probably even more of these out there that she's just hiding?
Fingers crossed.
I can't believe this.
You cannot be serious.
Should I text Richard Deitch? Does he have access to those archives? How do we get in there?
Could be.
Maggie looks like that Drewski video when he's in the Patriots jersey and he's running in flip-flops through the office, like just kind of like bow-legged stomping. Like that's kind of how this looks coming out of these blocks.
What do you mean by that?
But there is a still, actually, where you're in the block next to Usain Bolt. I just had it, and it looks like you know what you're doing. It's when you start to move when the trouble starts.
Just stand still.
There is a moment where it looks like, oh, Maggie is a track person. This makes sense. By the way, folks, you and I are laughing at this. I've never tried to get out of a block. I'm sure I would look even worse.
I'm perplexed by what makes it hard. I want to find out. If it means failing, I'll fail, but I want to try it now.
Same. So I walked in with that. I'm like, I'll just kind of explode out of the box.
Right.
Like all my heroes. Yeah, like I'm going to be, you know, Sandra Richards Ross. Like it just didn't happen that way.
Jackie Joyner Gray.
Yeah. Jackie Joyner, no way. That's what it was. Okay, we got to take a quick break. Thank you for that embarrassing memory to trip down memory lane.
You brought it up.
I did. I forgot the video gets so easily accessible.
Oh, my God. I just read the caption. On SI Now, Usain Bolt gives SI Now host Maggie Gray pointers on how to successfully train for the Olympics? Who wrote that caption?
Maggie.
My agent.
Well, you got out there and said, hey, Usain, I want to train for the Olympics. It's a little rich.
Considering I was like 35 at the
time. Yeah. I was like, well, I don't know. I guess there are stories like this, but just become an Olympic sprinter in your 30s, having never run track in your entire life, feels a little aggressive.
The only way you would qualify is if you came in as like a member of the Madagascar Olympic team.
I don't even think that would work.
Can I just add insult to injury?
Of course.
The second result of Googling Maggie Gray Usain Bolt is the Noah Lyles takedown.
Oh, no.
Yeah, somehow worse.
Here's Maggie falling out of the blocks. Here's Maggie telling Noah Lyles to pull his pec back in at the finish line.
All I simply said was, can you really brag about being the fastest man on earth if you win a race by one hundredth of a second?
God, I was on my annual vacation that week, and I've just Googled, there are 500 stories on this. SI, is winning a gold medal really worth it? Maggie Gray doesn't think so.
I'm more of the Scottie Scheffler. Why is anyone doing anything? Why are we all here? Who cares about winning? 888-710-4ISN. It's only fleeting anyway, Pearl. 888-710-4476. Okay.
Oh, my God. I just got another awful headline. I'll leave this at watch. Usain Bolt can do other things fast, too, with Maggie Gray. What?
Oh, we did do that. No, not that.
Wait, what?
Right.
What? Let's go to break, please.
We asked him if he could do other things.
Yeah, I understand.
But not that. I forgot. Now I can't remember what it was, but it was silly things. Like
a Rubik's Cube.
A Rubik's Cube, yeah.
Not that.
Oh, sure.
No, yeah. No.
You have to admit, this headline is a little deceiving.
Yes, so is Maggie's answer.
Do you understand? If I actually did something like that, I would hope I'd have gone a little more viral than whatever sentence was. I hope it would pay off a little bit.
Well, I would hope Usain Bolt isn't setting speed records in that area either. I mean, it's.
Yes, his people should be more embarrassed by that headline than me. 888-710-4ISN. Let's go to break. Let's stay hard. Gotta love when your own show is trolling you. Welcome to the show. Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff, just walking down memory lane the last break of the time I got to interview Usain Bolt, which was very, very exciting. And he tried to teach me how to get out of the blocks on the track, and it did not go well, and it's all on video. And that's the first time Perloff and Bogish and Manny and EJ and Bogish and Kaplan have ever seen it.
I'm very disappointed. This is actually, I know what I'm doing this weekend. I'm going to a deep dive of Maggie Gray athletic events on the...
You'll laugh.
You said there's a bad field goal attempt out there. I saw you were driving a car.
I got to be a passenger in a two-person Indy car, and Mario Andretti was driving,
Hell
and I was in the back, and I've never screamed more in my life. That was That was very scary.
Open wheel, oh, that's awesome.
They said there's no safer place you could be than in an Indy car with Mario Andretti. I said, it's not true. I could be in my bed. I could be in my house.
Yeah, but you didn't really have to do anything. You couldn't screw that up.
Couldn't screw it up.
You had no choice.
Had a helmet on.
Yeah, yeah.
So you couldn't even see my screen.
Very much a passenger. I don't think you had much say in the car's future.
Nope. No, it was me and a bunch of guys from the Tampa Bay Bucks who were there getting these cool experience, which was amazing and a great moment of my life, but a very scary one too.
I can't see Mike Evans fitting into a race car.
Was Shiloh there?
Was it Mike Evans? It was Austin Safarian Jenkins.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And
he's huge too.
He was huge. And I'll have to remember the other.
How the heck did he fit into that car?
Yeah, he got in there. Okay. He got lost in thought for a second. Who was that other buck? Oh, I'll think of it. We've also been talking about Arch Manning. And this new article from Yahoo that's really connecting a lot of dots between Arch and the LA Rams. George is our resident Rams fan. George, this has to be music to your ears.
Yes, it's I like the thought process. It's just like Perloff is saying, we got to find a dance partner because the Rams are, though we're going to be close to number one pick for years to come. But you never know. I mean, I think they're going to have to make a deal on the side, like have another team draft them and then make a deal like a trade afterwards. Does that make sense?
Well, it depends. Like, how good of a year? So here's the kind of nuts and bolts, because you think, how could a team that's expected to be as good as the Rams, how are they going to ever get in the Arch Manning sweepstakes? So two things there. One, an idea that Arch Manning, George, thank you, would forego a year in Texas because he could learn from Matthew Stafford, sit behind Stafford with McVay, and sort of have this redshirt year in the NFL, and that could be appealing. And then two, you know, it would get messy. Like, the Mannings would have to go full Manning on this. It's probably take multiple trades up. But don't forget, the Rams do have an extra first-round pick this upcoming draft because they made a trade with the Falcons.
Yeah. I just don't understand. You keep on saying this is appealing for the Mannings. It's not college. You don't get to choose where you go. I mean, obviously.
Eli did.
Do you think Cam Ward was like, man, I really want to go to the Titans? I mean.
Cam Ward didn't have the leverage that Arch does. Doesn't have the machine and muscle behind it, you know?
I mean, well, pretty much any player in NFL history except for Eli, like, who's ever done anything like this?
John Elway. I mean, Jim Kelly. Now, it was a different thing. But Eli did it to go from 4-1. I get it. That's not going from, you know, if you're picking 22nd to try to get to one, it's going to be a lot. But
never mind.
It's also been 20 years since they did this with Eli, basically.
Right.
And how much has the Manning influence grown even over the last 20 years? Quite a bit.
Yeah, I just think the Mannings have their tentacles in so many teams. They have Omaha Productions. Like, they're probably like a deep part of 16 different franchises. You know, the Rams did move out. I just looked up from 15-1 for Goff. But the reality is, in 2016, nobody wanted Jared. Jared Goff was like, you might as well, totally different scenario. Right. If Arch Manning is a real deal, then there's no way people are giving him up.
Is there a Godfather offer, though? We talked about that with Caleb Williams. Was there a Godfather offer that could have been made to the Bears?
If you're going from like 5-1, maybe, but not 23-1.
888-710-4ISN. Coming up next, we will answer our one big quarterback question. We're asking one question a day until the NFL season kicks off. Do that next.
Omaha!